on the screen, and those looking via Zoom on your screens will be talking about participating in Christ. I do like to share one announcement that the elders will be meeting this afternoon, and if you have anything for them as a topic to discuss, feel free to contact one of us so that we could add that to our agenda. So this morning I'm going to share my thoughts with you on participating in Christ. We as Christians have the privilege to participate in Christ on all levels. And as we go through this lesson, what I'd like you to do is use your spiritual barometer, and only you could measure yourself against the scriptures and see where you stand. See if you need improvement. See if you need encouragement. See if someone could help you improve your participation in Christ. If you don't write down all the verses in this lesson this morning, Jerry LeCamp will be posting this lesson on our website, so it will be available to you in the future. So what we are going to look at is, number one, believers are united in Christ. As Christians, we are united together in Christ. Our faith liberates Christians from participating in sin, and Christians share in Christ's death and resurrection. We also notice through the scriptures that Christians share in Christ's nature, also in Christ's sufferings, and they share also in Christ's glory. Christians participate in Christ's body. And that was evident as we had just observed the Lord's Supper. And also, Christians share in the unity through Christ. We are unified through Christ, who is our Savior. We also know that we share in God's work. We as Christians should be doing our part to spread the gospel. Christians share in a source of life, and the scriptures reveal that Christians share in an inheritance. We also, as Christians, enjoy the spiritual blessings that is in Christ. We also share in our worship together. We, as Christians, accept the responsibility towards others. And Christians share with those who are in need. And finally, we're going to look at all Christians enjoy God's salvation. So these are the areas I'd like us to focus on. We'll be looking at scripture to assist us in our participating in Christ. I'd like to read from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affliction and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So Paul shares with the saints at Philippi about we have encouragement in Christ. We have consolation of loving Christ. We have fellowship with the Spirit. We have affliction and compassion in Christ. And he goes on to say, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, be united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So we as Christians should have the same attitude as one with the other. We notice that Jesus shared this attitude when he took our sins to the cross. And it was not just for a few. It was not just for a certain group, but it was for all mankind. And when an individual puts on Christ, he adds these qualities to his life so that we could be united in Christ. Believers in Jesus Christ are joined through their faith. We have a common faith, and that is that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came down here on earth. He was crucified. He died on the cross. He was buried. And then he rose again. And we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, he ascended to heaven. By sharing in Christ's death, his resurrection, his nature, his sufferings, and his glory, believers become part of his body. We are joined with him. Believers also share in the fellowship, in the ministry, and the hope of God's people, which was anticipated by the Old Testament and fulfilled in the church. So we as Christians who are part of this church, part of Christ's church, should have the attitude of being of the same mind, being of the same attitude, share the same love with all our brethren, encourage each other, having fellowship through the Spirit, and be of one with each other. That's a tall order, but God expects his children to do this. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul shares with the saints at Ephesus, in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we have a commonality. We have that message of truth, which is the gospel, which is for our salvation. And by believing in this, the gospel, we were sealed in him, in Christ, with the Holy Spirit of promise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, we read, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So through the gospel, we have fellowship with his Son through the Holy Spirit. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So we align ourselves as Christians with Jesus. And the Hebrew writer says in chapter 3 and verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. We have an obligation when we put on Christ. We become partakers of Christ. We have fellowship with him. We are one in the Spirit with him. But also we have the opportunity to grow in Christ from the time we are introduced to the gospel and obey the gospel. Our journey begins, and it's a journey till we die. And we should be growing in faith, growing in love, growing in sharing God's message, and have that attitude at all times. So our faith liberates Christians from participating in sin. We all came out of sin, and we know that sin separates us from God spiritually. In Romans chapter 5, verse 15, but the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Paul uses an allegory here with Adam who sinned. And through his sin, we all are under that sin, that transgressions that affect each and every one of us, the different trials that we experience. But God's grace and the gift of Jesus, who died on the cross, gave us the opportunity to correct that sin from our lives. And by reading and by studying and also by putting into practice what we learn through the Bible, how we are supposed to stay away from sin. And we should apply that to our lives. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, Paul writes to the saints at Galatia, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So once an individual puts on Christ, those passions within them, those sinful desires within them that Satan uses to draw people away from God, we should put this behind us. I know at times trials are difficulties. I know that each and every one of us suffer different temptations in our lives. But we have Jesus to lean on. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. In the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So with Christ's death on the cross, it allows all who believe in him to put away those sinful desires in their lives and focus on thoughts that will allow us to live a God-fearing life. Christians share in Christ's death and resurrection. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So when we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into his death. And when we emerge from the watery grave of baptism, we have a newness in our lives. We have a new beginning. A beginning that we should be dedicating our lives to God and having him as priority one in our lives. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. When you look at this particular verse, we all been crucified with Christ. And it's not what we do in this life, but it's what Christ does in our lives. We should reflect Jesus in all our dealings with people of the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who we share the gospel with, because we live by faith in the Son of God. And why do we do that? Well, he died for us. He died for you and I. He died for all humanity. And we believe that he is going to give us eternal life, because through the gospel is the only means that man has for salvation. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. What a blessing that is for Christians to have their sins forgiven. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, it is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, that is, we were buried with him in baptism, we will also live with him. We have such a tremendous blessing to be in Christ. Well, Christians share in Christ's nature. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So when an individual shares with Christ's nature, he is in Christ, and he's a new creature. And it's the start of your Christian walk of life. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, we read, "And having put on the new self, who is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." So when we put on a new self, when we have new things in our life, we are renewed to the true knowledge. And how do we get that knowledge? Again, is that that knowledge comes from God's word. God tells us how to conduct ourselves as Christians. God shares this knowledge of how Christians should live in a right relationship with him through the Bible. And it's not just because you just read it once, and so I know that. We continually to meditate on God's word and pray about how we as Christians can grow and do better for him. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 7, "Do nothing for selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. And do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equally with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men." We should humble our minds and have this attitude that Jesus had. Not put our own interests ahead of others, but look what Jesus did for you and I. He took our sins to the cross, took our transgressions to God, and he was the sacrifice that all mankind has for our sins. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, Peter says, For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So Jesus, as we share in his nature, gave us these magnificent and precious promises, and we become partakers of his divine nature. But we have to work at putting sin behind us by not allowing temptations in our lives, by not allowing the trials which Satan puts as stumbling blocks in our path to living a godly life. Christians also share in Christ's suffering. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 5, "For just as the sufferings of Christ are our abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." We realize that Christ suffered on the cross for our sins, and Christ is there for you and I. It's up to us to seek him out and ask for his help. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. When you meditate on what God had done for you and I by dying on the cross, that is unfathomable to comprehend, because God came down here on earth to take our place as our offering on the cross. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13, but to the degree that you share in the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Christians suffer in this world because they wear the name of Christian. They are Christ-like. Don't hide that. Keep on rejoicing. Just as Christ has suffered for us on the cross, we are also reminded in our lives daily when we read about these sufferings, when we read about what he had done on earth. And we only have a snapshot of his life here on earth via the gospel writers. But yet he had done so much more for us by dying in our place. Christians also share in Christ's glory. In John chapter 17 and verse 22, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. So when we are joined to Christ, when we are added to Christ's body, the church, when we are baptized into this body, we have glory with Christ, just as he shares with God the Father. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So we, even though we go through a lot of trials and temptations in our lives, we should remember we are children of God. We are his heirs, and we are fellow heirs with Christ. And we suffer here on this earth. We suffer with him because we wear his name, but we also will be glorified by him, with him. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that's our goal, to be in heaven. Receive the crown of glory, to have eternal life. But yet we have to make sure we're on that path. And the only one that could measure us, again, going back to your spiritual barometer, is you. Because each and every one of us will appear before the judgment seat of God. And we will give an account for the good and bad deeds we have done here on this earth. And we hope and pray that by God's grace and mercy, he will give us eternal life. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, it was for this, he called you through our gospel that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we obey the gospel, we gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, if we endure, we will also reign with him. And if we deny him, he will also deny us. We as Christians have to grow. We have to grow our faith. And we could grow to the best of our ability to be in Christ. And it's up to you and I to hone our skills, to use our talents, to share with others the gospel, to use our talents to share with our brothers and sisters in their needs, whether it be physical or spiritual. Christians participate in Christ's body. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, Paul writes to the saints at Rome, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one of another. We are all part of Christ's body as Christians. We have maybe different talents, but yet we should be, remember, we are individuals, but yet we serve each other. We are all one in Christ's body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, is not the cup of blessing which we bless or sharing in Christ's blood, in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. We all share in the Lord's Supper. And we remember Christ's death on the cross. We remember his blood that was shed on the cross. We partake of the emblems to remind us of this. Remind each and every one of us of this. Again, we are one body in Christ. And we share in the unity through Christ. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There's no differentiation between Christians. We are all in Christ. We all are the same. We all seek one thing, and that is eternal life, to be with God in heaven. And we hope and pray that each and every one of us achieves that in our life as we walk on this earth. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21 and 22, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being fitted, you also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. We're all in one in Christ. And each and every one of us are to share in this blessing. We should be united through Christ. Christians also share in God's work. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul says, and working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, we as Christians have the responsibility to share what was shared with us and that is the gospel, with others in the world, to the best of our ability. And we do that. You may say, well, I'm not a great orator. I certainly am not. But yet you have the ability to tell someone how you became a Christian. You have the ability to go into the Bible and learn the steps of how to become a Christian. And put that into practice by sharing God's work, by sharing the gospel, the message of truth, the plan of salvation with others. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper work of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So we may be separate, we may have different abilities, but yet we should be working together as individuals so that the growth of the church is built up in love. In Colossians 2 and verse 19, and not holding fast to the head, for whom the entire body being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments grows with a growth which is from God. And this growth that we enjoy in the body of Christ, in God's church, through love, comes from God. And it's up to each individual to search his word, to meditate on his word, and put it into action. Well, Christians share an inheritance. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. So as Christians, as children of God, as being baptized into Christ's church, we are Abraham's descendants, his spiritual descendants. And we also are heirs according to the promise that God had given to him. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So if you are in Christ, you qualify for this inheritance. But that doesn't give you a free pass to do what you want. It gives you the privilege to serve God, to serve your brothers and sisters, to serve those who aren't Christians, your neighbors, to share the gospel. So we have a responsibility to do that as Christians. We also enjoy all the spiritual blessings in Christ as Christians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That is awesome to us as Christians. We have many spiritual blessings in our lives. And if you were to look at your life, you could actually see how God has blessed you in many, many ways. And we should be very thankful for that. Always giving him the thanks, the praise, and the glory for that. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 6 and verse 4, For in the case of those who once have been light, have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit. We all received that when we were baptized into Christ. Don't fall away. I encourage you to stay on the path of righteousness so that also you can enjoy eternal life with Jesus, with the faithful saints, and with God in heaven. Christians also share together in worship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, what is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. When we come to worship, we should have one thing on our minds. That is to worship God, give him glory, give him honor, give him praise. We teach each other in our songs. We teach each other by studying the Bible. We teach each other by sharing our thoughts in Bible class. We teach each other by the way we live our lives as Christians. And this is our worship to God. Not only when we assemble together, but when we are apart, we are worshiping God. Christians accept responsibility towards others. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, brethren, even if any is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. It is important for Christians to build one another up, to encourage each other, and also to admonish one another when someone is caught in a trespass. But do it in such a way that you have the same attitude that Jesus had when he went to the cross for all mankind. He was willing to die for us, and he expects each Christian to be responsible for assisting his brothers and sisters in Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, we read, And the congregation of those who believe were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. So we as Christians should be sharing with those who are in need. This is the attitude that the First Chancery Church had adapted in their lives. They believed with one heart and soul that Jesus is the Christ. And they shared with their brethren, those who were in need, what they had. We as Christians should follow that example. And all Christians enjoy God's salvation. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. The scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Throughout the Old Testament, we read that the Gentiles are going to be joined with other believers through the gospel. They will have that faith in Christ Jesus. They will have the faith which will propel them to long for eternal life. And it's a blessing to Gentiles. And all of us are Gentiles who enjoy this. We read in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So when you become a Christian as a Gentile, you become a member of the body, a fellow heir and a fellow partaker of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, by your obedience to the gospel, by stating that Jesus is Son of God, by believing that he is and obeying him, by turning away from your sins and being baptized with him in baptism. So when we participate in Christ as Christians, believers are united in Christ. We are unified through his body. And I know we have some differences. I know we have some things we have to work out, but yet we are united with him in Christ. And we should be focusing on resolving our issues. We should be focusing on loving our brethren. We should be focusing on making the body whole so that others can see this is what one has to do to be saved. Also, our faith liberates Christians from participating in sin. It doesn't give us a free pass of sin, to sin, but it tells us what is sin. And sin alienates each individual from God. So through our Christian walk of life, we should be applying what we learn in the Bible to our lives so that we can grow and put sin behind us, put the temptations and trials that Satan puts in front of us behind us, and focus on growing in love, focusing on being Christ-like, and focusing on sharing the gospel with others. And finally, Christians enjoy many blessings in Christ. There are so many blessings we enjoy. We enjoy the blessing of prayer. We enjoy the blessings of asking forgiveness of our trespasses. We enjoy being with like-minded Christians who have the same values, the same attitude that was in Christ. So as you go through your Christian walk of life, use your spiritual barometer to see where you're at. If you need some assistance, ask your brothers and sisters. And they'll do that out of love to assist you. And if you're not a Christian, ask one of us to help you become a Christian so that you can enjoy these blessings, that you can enjoy the inheritance, that you could be united in Christ. The lesson is yours, and tonight, via Zoom, I'm going to share with you some thoughts on the believer's relationship to sin.